today.
Back
then, and God said, I'm going to take all, because back then the young people were taught to respect their elders and to respect those that are older than them. And families got along and people got along and children didn't disrespect their elders. And they were not cruel to the children. Children weren't cruel to them or whatever. Man was against man. Neighbors fight against neighbors all the time over silly stuff, whatever it was. But like today, I mean, they'll kill you if you cut the grass, you know, wrong, or mess around and mess up their grass. They come out their house and shoot you. So we have that situation going on today. And so the prophet Isaiah was saying that Judah and Israel had problems, and these are areas that God was dealing with them in. Also in verse 9, if we skip down to verse 9, and in paraphrase he said, the faces show what they are really like. It is clear that they have sinned, like the people in Sodom. Get this, they do not hide it, and it's sad. People do stuff in the open. They don't care. That flock of God folk doing stuff, they don't know what they're doing. They just come out of their head. I mean, that demon got them so way out there. Some of them are running buck naked in the streets and doing all kind of crazy stuff. Why? Because they don't know what they're doing. They plumb out of their head. They see something that's not there. And why? Because they had to be weak to even go that route anyway, to use drugs in the place of common sense. I mean, you can't take nothing. You got to get high to be able to cope or to be able to stand something. I mean, please, why would you allow something to take your mind like that? And so in verse 10, he said, tell the very good people that things will be well for them. They will enjoy the results of the good things that I have done. In verse 11, he said, the very bad person will be very sad. He will have great trouble. And here's the reason. What his hands have done to other people will happen to him. In other words, what goes around comes back around. Whatever you did to them, just get ready. It's coming back to you. People think they dug a hole or a trap for you. They lied on you and spread rumors about you. Guess what? It's coming back to them. Hello? They stole from you. They robbed. They cheated you. Don't worry about it. The same thing they did to you is coming back to them. So why do you, he began to ask them also, why do you hit my people so that they break in the people? In other words, don't cause destruction to come upon my people. Don't destroy my people. And then he said, why do the faces of the poor, why do you walk on the faces of the poor people? Don't take advantage of the poor people. There was so much going on with Israel and Judah back in those days that they had gotten so far away from God. And when we're talking, you can kind of see what's happening today in our own world today, in our own society. They had gotten so far away from God. Them people, I'm telling you, they was way out in left field. But like the scripture says, remember, as we went further, the remnant will be saved. So we move on to chapter 4, and I'm going to read chapter 4 in its entirety because it's in verses. And it's talking about, this is Isaiah saying that there's some good news to this. There's some bad stuff. Judgment's going to come, but there's also good news, too. So he said, in that day, seven women will find and hold one man. Because the men, they're dying now, even in this day. You see that? How they're shooting up each other, black on black crime. It's horrible. Killing each other, the men are killing each other off like nothing. And everybody else waiting, sitting and watching all our black men kill up each other. And so they will say, we will eat our own bread and we will wear our own clothes, but let us call ourselves by your name. Take away our shame. You ain't got to work. You ain't got to take care of me. I'll take care of you. Don't that sound familiar? As long as you got a bicycle, you know, you can ride by my house anytime you want to come over here. Now, I'll take care of you. I'll take care. I'll buy my own bread, buy my own clothes, pay my own rent. And this is it. We're here today. Well, the young ladies today are doing that just so they can have a man. Take away my shame. Hello? So I don't be without a man. So I'll take care of you is basically what they're saying. But listen, there's some good news. Verse 2, in that day the branch of the Lord will be something pretty and something that has glory. And the fruit of the land will be as something proud and something beautiful. They will be for Israel's people and will become free. Everyone that remains in Zion will be called holy. Also, everyone who stays in Jerusalem will be called holy. All their names will be on a list of people who are living in Jerusalem. This will happen. when the Lord will wash away the dirt from the daughter of Zion. Also, then, he will make Jerusalem clean from the marks left by blood. He will do this by a spirit that will be a judge and by a spirit of fire. This is what the Lord will make over all the mountain called Zion. And it will be over the people that come together there. He will make a lot of smoke during the day, and he will make a fire which shines in the night. The glory will be like coat over everything. It will be a place to hide from the heat in the day, and it will be a place to hide from the storms and the rain. God is going to be our shelter. You say, okay, it ain't all bad. It's going to come a day when God's going to be your protection and your shelter. But right now, this is what's going to happen. In other words, thank you, pat you up. Yeah, okay, baby. You know, chilling that out. Thank you, pat you up. But there's going to come a day. It's not all bad for those that will turn back to God. Responding to prophecy is clearly when God sent a warning, when God sent a word, you take heed. You hear it. You let it go in good soil. You receive it and you act upon it. You don't just say, okay, that was a good message. That was a good word. And you just walk on and do your own thing. Because when things start happening, now we want to talk, God, why is this happening to me? Why are you letting this happen? I didn't let it happen. You walked into this, right? Because you got the word, and you heard the word, and the word said what should be, and you did what you wanted to do. You did your own thing. So why are you confronting me when you walked into this yourself? Amen? So if we push on in our review, we go to chapter 5. God punishes his people. In verse 1, I love verse 1. Elder Mary, you got verse 1, chapter 5. Read that for me out loud and from your Bible, King James, and I'm going to read from plain English.
Chapter 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill.
2.
And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with precious sand and built a tower in the midst of it. And also made a wine press therein. And he looked at his ship full of grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, the men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor thieved, but there shall come up briars, the thorn. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a crack.
Amen. So in chapter 5, the song of the vineyard, he began to sing, now I will sing for the person that I love. I will sing a song of love about his vineyard. The person that I love has a vineyard. It is a field where plants grow well. He dug the ground and he removed the stones. He planted the best vines in it. He built a place where he could watch the vineyard. He also made a place to store grapes in it. Then he waited for the vineyard to grow good grapes, but it grew bad grapes. And now, listen to me, you people that live in Jerusalem. And listen, all you people that live in Judah, you decide who is wrong, me or my vineyard. There was nothing else that I ought to have done for my vineyard. I had done everything for it. I waited for good grapes. Now you tell me, why did it give me bad grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its wall. Then animals will come in and eat it, all the vines. I will knock down his wall, and the animals will walk all over the vineyard. I will make the land so that nobody can use it. Nobody will prune the vines or dig the ground around them. So weeds and thorns will grow there. And I will say to the clouds, do not drop rain on it. Now the vineyard of the Lord of everything is like a picture of Israel. The plants in it that he likes are the people of Judah. And the Lord looked for justice, but he saw only the opposite. He wanted people to be very good, but he only heard people that were crying for help. So what he's saying to us, and I mean what he's talking to Judah, but then it's the same thing happening today. We always, people come to God or come to service because they want something from God. They're not coming with a man of worship. They're not coming seeking the Lord. They're not coming to be the best grape that they can be in the vineyard. They don't receive the nourishment they get in the house of God and go out and sow good seed. They don't. They don't do that. It's like, okay, that was a good message. Now this time for me, I walk out that door and I'm back to myself now. They put the church face on in the church. But once they walk outside the church building, it's a whole new creation. It's a whole new person. And God is fed up with it, just like he was back there. We see the signs. People don't even see the signs of the times. Everybody is going on about their life today like it's nothing. People are dying and going on, and we're going to die, but God promised us at least 3 score and 10. That's 70 years. But young people are dying at 17. They don't even make it to 1 score. 15, 13. Hello? The saints, he's taking them on out of here. Some of us going to be out of here sooner than we even know because of what the thing that's about to come on this land, the devastation that's about to come. So we want to make sure that we're in right standing with God so that we either go on and sleep away with him so that we're not here when the devastations come or we'll be strong enough to stand. Frankly, I don't want to be here. Not sure if I can stand. Hello? Amen? Yeah, I went to another zone on that one. So, again, another point he brought. The wrong things that the people in Jerusalem and Judah have done in that chapter. And also in chapter 5, he's talking about God is going to send another nation from far away to punish his people. And we already talked about that. We studied how God used the Assyrian people to judge Israel or to fight against them and kill them and destroy most of them except for the remnant that was saved. And who's to say who the remnant is going to be today? Hello? So it was coming out of that. I mean, and it's not like God is such a droll of a God that he's sitting waiting to destroy people. He's not. He know that they ain't going to turn. He know that they're not going to stop doing what they're doing, just like he know the ones of us in this nation and in this day and time that's not going to change. He know those of us who's not going to repent. He already know those that's going to keep on what they call playing church. Until they die and end up in hell. He already knows. So he knows the remnant. He knows the remnant that's going to hold on and be fixed and unmovable. We live in a time when you cannot be movable. You have to you seek the Lord. If you don't do nothing else daily, you need to see God every day. That's very important that we seek the Lord. And so that's the end of part one. Any questions on part one? We went from chapters 1 to 5. I'm just trying to review here so that when we get together next week on our group sessions, we'll be ready. Any comments on part 1? Anything you want me to go over in part 1? Y'all see it, right? Okay. Y'all pay attention. Amen. So in chapter 2, part 2, chapter 6, God makes Isaiah into a prophet. Now, chapter 6 is just one long part. It's part 2. That's all that covers the fact that God made Isaiah a prophet. So that's one by itself. But if we go all the way to verse 9, let's do verse 1, because this is when God decided to do this. It said it happened. Now, in plain English, you know what your Bible says. Chapter 6. Yeah, I was going down to verse 9, but let me do verse 1 first. Chapter 6, verse 1, it happened in the year when King Uzziah died, I saw my Lord. He was sitting on a very high seat, ends of his very long coat filled the temple. Verse 2 says, above the Lord were seraphs. They were waiting to do what he wanted them to do. Each one had 6 wings. 2 of the wings were covering their faces. two of them were covering their feet, and with two of them they were flying. And so we go down to verse 9, and God said, actually, let's go up. You know what? Let me read those things. And the seraph spoke to another, and they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of everything. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 3. When each seraph spoke, the door steps of the temple moved. Also, the temple was full of smoke. Then I said, I am very sad because I must not speak. I am a man with lips that are not clean, and I live among people with lips that are not clean. And with my own eyes I have seen the King, the Lord of everything. Verse 6, then one of the seraphs flew towards me. In his hand was a piece of coal that was burning. He had taken it from the altar with a special tool. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, look, this has touched your lips, and it has taken away your guilt. It has covered your sin. Then I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, I am here, send me. And God said, go and tell the people in Judah. Okay? And so he began to tell them, always listen. Always listen. But you will never understand. And like a puzzle on it. Then he said, always look. But you will never see what it means. Then he told Isaiah, now this is why. He said, make the heart of the people fat, close their ears and shut their eyes. If you do not do this, they will see with their eyes, okay? They will hear with their ears, and they will understand with their heart. Then they will turn, and they will be well again. But judgment is to come to them for their deeds. So if you don't stop up their ears and their eyes, they're going to understand. So they're going to hear, but they're not going to understand. They're going to look, but they won't understand what it means. They won't know what they're looking at. They'll see it, but they won't know. And he said in verse 11, he said, how long, Lord, must I do this? And this is what the Lord answered in plain English. Do it until their enemy destroys the city. Then nobody will live there. Hello? Then he said, do it. Until nobody lives in the houses. Destroy the city, empty houses. Do it until they cannot use the land in any way, not to build on it and not to grow on it, till the land becomes desolate. And in verse 12, he said, do it until the Lord removes people too far, all over the place, too far away from each other, in faraway places. And then he said, do it until an enemy has destroyed many places inside the country, Israel. Because of the stiff neck, the hard head, destroyed. And they were destroyed, as we know in our lesson as we got further on. And so in verse 13, and even if one of every 10 places or people stay, an enemy will burn them again. They will do it as they burn trees called terebinth and oaks. But from the remains of such a tree, on the holy people will grow. All right? So he's going to destroy them in plain English because you sit, people, do you know how many times people sit up in the church and the preaching is going on and their mind is every which way? How many times you've done that? The preacher preaches. I don't know about you, but we've done it, and the teacher preaches, and you all across town somewhere. Can't bring it in. And this is basically where they're at. Isaiah's prophesying to them, giving them word of God, and he know God already knows. He said they're hard-headed people. They ain't going to hear you, but tell them now. And that's what he tells his preachers. They're hard-headed. They don't do what they want to do, but tell them now. They're not listening, but tell these you did your part. You tell them. Amen? So God was going to bring destruction. He's going to put them in a place, glory to God, where they can't even hear, deafen their ears, blind their eyes, where they can't even see and be saved because they don't care. They have no regard. They just want, if danger comes and they see it, they're going to run just to save their life, not because they want to have a relationship with God. They come to the church because they want to save their life. They ain't running because they want a relationship with God. Some people don't come to God until they get sick and about to die. Then they want a miracle. Am I right about that? If they're well and there ain't nothing wrong with their body and they got money and whatever and they're doing their thing, you know, God don't hear from them. Hello? So in part three, we did one and two. Chapter six was part two all by itself. In part three, okay, we got good time. Chapters, part three, covers chapter 7 to 37, but we only studied to 23. Thank you. God bless you. Somebody knew I was thirsty. Amen. Bless your hand. And so in chapter 7, King Ahaz here refuses to ask God for a message. Now, y'all, who remembers that story? And see, this is what I'm talking about. We're going to have to do stories to talk about this in storybook form so we can get clear understanding. And that's what the roundtable is going to be about next session. Let's go down to verse 10. Let's stay with verse 1 so you get introduction first. Ahaz became the king of Judah. He was the son of King Jotham. Jotham was the son of King Uzziah. When Ahaz was king, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel, both attacked Jerusalem. But they did not win the fight. Pekah was the son of Ramaliah. Okay, now we know that Ahaz was the king of Judah. Down to verse 10, and we're talking about here that the writer was talking, and I'm not going over all the scriptures because we already did this. This is just review, right? If y'all find yourself in, stand up. Okay? Now let me bore y'all. Clap your hands and do something. Turn around, touch the ground, okay? Verse 10. And the Lord spoke again to Isaiah, say this to Ahaz. Verse 10, he said, ask the Lord your God for a message. I told him to ask God for a word. Ask for a deep in the earth or high in the sky. Go to a deep place. Get in the spirit. Go deep and ask God for a message. Ask him for a word. He told him. And God told him, said, come to me and talk to me. Right? Like he tell us today. But Ahaz said, I will never ask for a message or ask the Lord for something. Whoa. I don't know, maybe he thought that was deep and pious. Holy, you know, I'm not going to ask God to do nothing. I'm just going to stay back and let God do what he do. No, God told him. He said, you tell him, God said, ask me for a word. But he didn't, okay? So verse 13, and he said, now listen, Ahaz, you belong to the family of David. You are more, you are making your people angry with you. And you are making God angry with you too. So in verse 14, so the Lord himself will give you a message anyhow. He told you to ask, and you didn't. In other words, if you want to know what's going on, ask God. People don't know that. That's why Jesus came for us today, so that we can go to God. If you don't like what the pastor's saying, you don't like the word that you hear, if you don't have a clear understanding, they still ain't make it clear enough, ask God. I promise you, he'll give you an understanding. Hello? I promise you. And you may not be standing up there and you say, okay, this is what it is. Maybe not then because you ain't ready to receive it. But somewhere along the line, he'll pick it up. He'll speak to you in something. And you say, oh, thank you, Lord, that's it. You may not get it right then. Don't just go away and say, well, I don't get that. No, ask God. Even when I hear words, I don't care if I hear it from who. My chief apostle, archbishop, whoever. And I don't, if it's not clicking in my spirit, I'll sit there and listen. And I'll even make note of it. But I'll ask God, you have to make this clear to me. I don't get that. It's not clicking in my spirit. I don't agree with it. I don't understand it. And he does. He helped me to understand. Either I'm wrong or I'm right. He'll tell me. Maybe not right. But in my studies later on, because I keep connection with him daily, like you're supposed to do, keep connection with him daily, that's when it comes. Hello. And sometimes he do answer me right then. He say he was right. Or they're right. And that's it, and I leave it alone. But I'm not going to walk away with my head up in the cloud and not try to get an understanding of something. So he said, the Lord said to himself, the Lord himself will give you a message. Look, he said, now this is the message. The virgin will become pregnant. She will have a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Verse 15, one day he will know the difference between right things and wrong things. Then he will be old enough to eat butter and sugar. Verse 16. But even before the child knows the difference between right things and wrong things, Assyria will destroy Ephraim and Syria. The two kings that you are afraid of will be in their own countries themselves. And so the Lord, he knew that he had a word for Ahaz, but he wanted Ahaz to inquire of him. They don't talk to God enough. They don't go and spend time. Prayer time with God will keep us from making a lot of the dumb mistakes that we make today, that we spend time with God. And then don't always think that once you go in prayer with God, you're going to get up with an answer, because you don't. Especially if you want one thing and you know God don't want you to have it. And then get up and say, Lord, said, go ahead. No, he didn't. He wasn't even in that. Because he's not going to talk to you right then. He's going to talk to you when your mind is right off of that thing and you're not even thinking about it or whatever. Or if he can't get a word to you because he know you pig-headed, you'll do it anyway, he won't even respond. Hello? So don't say the Lord told me then when you get it, you can't keep it or something happened to it. Well, God gave it. No, he didn't. Back up. Now backtrack. Did he really say that? And did you already have your mind made up when you prayed, when you asked him? Huh? You know, somebody get your, have the hand on your drink and they say, can I have this? It's already in the hand. About to open the top. Can I have some of this? Well, you know, if I say no, what you going to do, put it back? And that's the way we do with God. No, again, I have this already. I want to get this car, and can you, I'm going to put my hand on it. And although I make bicycle money, but I want this Rolls Royce or this Cadillac. So I'm going to put my key in the ignition anyhow while I'm praying. And you know you can't pay for it. And then when they repossess it, now you're mad at God, or you coming to people trying to borrow money for payments every month. Come on. Learn to respond to what God is telling you. Learn how to respond to prophecy. And if God ain't spoke to you, don't get up and say he did, because you want to sin. So the Bible says we sin because of the lust on the inside of us. And it's a sinful thing to say the Lord said and he did not say. How many know that the Bible says woe be unto him to say the Lord said and he didn't say? And people do so much. The Lord said, and some people, I just look at them. You know, I'm like, God, ain't no way God said that. You know, you living like hell. You wrong. You defeated. You divided. And God going to tell you to tell me something, and he didn't tell you. You need to get yourself together, get back in the church where you belong. But all of a sudden, one day when you was praying, you got a word from the Lord for me. You ain't been to church in 15 Sundays, not to mention weekdays. But God gave you a word for me in your prayer time, and he didn't have a word for you. So this is probably the first time you fell on your knees in about 20 weeks. So there's a problem there. Amen? And so God gave him a word. And so if we go to verse 17, the Lord will bring the king of Assyria to you and to your people. He will come to the house of your father. It will be a special time. There have been no days like it since Ephraim became separate from Judah. Verse 18, on that day the Lord will tell the flies, my goodness, at the higher end of the river Egypt that they must come. And he will tell the bees in the country called Assyria that they must come. And they will all come on the land and on these places. They're going to destroy the valleys with high sides, number one. Just hearing English. They're going to destroy the holes in the rocks, your little hiding place where you think you're going to hide. They're going to destroy all the thorn bushes where you worship and do your stuff, and all the places where there is water. Hello? It's coming. It's going to happen. Why? Simply because the people won't turn to me. When the Lord spoke to me and said, all that worship going on down there, my train is up here. I can't come down to church because it's not about me. It got me to thinking. That's when my consecration started. Lord, don't let me be that number. Which I know I'm not, but I don't want to be in that number. I don't want the people of God. I don't want people in here in that number. Because your worship of God has to be about God. If your worship ain't about God, then what's the point? You want the Lord to come in. He said, I inhabit the praises of my people. It ain't no, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at the pencil right there. Oh. Hey, what's that over there? That's so nonchalant worship, Deaconess. You know, like, whatever. I'm just doing it because everybody else doing it. Is that worship? That's not worship. When you give him everything you got and you worship him until your mind focuses in, because I tell people all the time, when you first go before God, your mind ain't on him. You're thinking about that car that almost ran you over or ran across in front of you on your way to church and made you almost cuss. Or you think about an argument you just had with your spouse on your way here, or the beans that burnt. Or did you turn the stove off, or did you unplug the iron? Something has got your mind, that disobedient, hard-headed child of mine, something got your mind preoccupied. where you can. I mean, if you admit it, come on, let's sit up and not act like we're so pious, because we do. Well, and you got to praise until you get your focus on God. You got to call on him until you really, really, I mean, until you bring your mind in and that other stuff get back there out of the way and God becomes first and foremost. Then it becomes worship. But if you're just going through the motion of praise, either say hallelujah, hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's like a robot. That's not even worship. That's not praise. That's robotic. Praise comes from you. If you like something, and I say people that can't praise God are selfish and self-centered. Uh-oh. It is. Because in order for you to praise God, you got to put yourself second. You got to get on the back burner. You got to get out of the way and put God first. Elder Mary, a lot of people don't want to put God first. They got to put self out there first. Self got to be first, and they don't want to do that. But when you get God out there first, and see, this is what it's all about, a God that loves his people so much that he wants to be everything for them, and we just don't get it. The Bible says that everything is ours. God put this stuff here for us to enjoy, but he didn't tell us to make a God out of it. Enjoy it. It's okay if you can afford a nice car, buy it. But don't let that be your God. Don't let it come before God. It's okay if you can afford a nice big house, buy it. You got the money to buy it, buy it. But don't treat it as if it's your God. Put God first. In other words, live in that house as if God said, get up and leave. Sell it, give it to somebody else, you can get up and do it, and it won't kill you. Down. Let me duck, because somebody be paying a lot of people in there, because I probably get rocks thrown at me. But you got to have possessions. The possessions can't have you. Can't have them. You can't have them controlling you. I can't give that up. I've had that 50 years. God said, okay, we'll give it to Sister So-and-so. God, the devil is a liar. I know that ain't God. I had that for 50 years. Hello? What do you think God sees about that? We can be so pious and holy, but God already said, he said, I'm going to destroy the valleys and the high sides, the holes in the rocks, the thorn bushes, even the water that you drink, the places that you get your water, because these are the places that they hold in high regard. When you start touching that stuff and you start losing that stuff, what then? Hello? Now what? Nothing comes before God. We're here to enjoy this earth because we're human beings and he created the earth for us to live in it and enjoy it. But don't act like you're here to stay because you are not here to stay. The house you built, somebody else someday going to live in it. You're going to be dead and gone. Hello, people? Somebody else going to be wearing your clothes. And if the car is still driving your car. So it's not yours. Your children are not even yours. They belong to God. They're just lent to you. God lent them to us, and some of us don't even know how to treat stuff that people lent. You ever loan somebody something and come back in shreds or pieces, you be back to tell them, I'm serious, D. You tell them to keep it. You know, it's yours now. It don't even look like the same thing you gave to them. No, okay, don't worry about it. You can have that. You know? Got a nerve to bring it back. Don't even function no more. So now they want to give it back. I've loaned people stuff, and they told me it was when they kept it so long till they owned it. And then when I need it, I ask for it. No, that's mine. Oh, it is? So, you know, to keep the argument down, I said, oh, okay. You know, you got the bill of sale. You know when you bought it. You can show it to them, but no, I bought that for some. Okay. So you keep walking. I'm not going to argue with you over things. They got some more of them in the store. But people have done me that way. You know, you give it to them and they never bring it, never bring you. Finally, you say, you remember the so-and-so? I'm like, what? Oh, no, that's fine. Okay. And you keep it moving. Amen? And so in chapter 8, Isaiah, he said, he started talking about the areas. He covered like three areas, I think, in chapter 8. No, my bad. Just one. God will use Assyria to destroy Israel and Syria. That's the area he covered there. So go back to your notes on that as well, because that's also going to be in the group. You want to talk about that, too, in the group. So make sure you go back to your notes on that. So we go to chapter 9, and chapter 9 brings good news. Wow. Okay. Yeah, we got good news in chapter 9 for the people of God. Let's go to verse 1. It says, but there will be no dark places for the sick people that were not very happy. In past years, God let trouble happen to the people in the places called Zebulun and Naphtali, but in future years, he will send glory to these places. First, the country by the sea. This is coming up in the future. Second, the land at the other side of the River of Jordan. And then third, the part of Israel that the people in other countries call Galilee. So glory is going to come back to you. But in this time, they got to be destroyed. They got to go through destruction and fighting and stuff. Because they got to go through that because of their hard, stiff neck, and disobedience. But the glory is going to come back later on in future years. But they won't live to see it, but their children and grandchildren or whatever will live to see it. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to see the glory now. You know? I want to be the one to see. I want my children to see it, but I don't want to be of the hard-headed sect that won't see the glory, right? And so we go to verse 4. It says, this is because as the time of Midian, you will kill our enemies. God is going to kill our enemies, and he's going to break these things. He's going to break the yoke that the enemy had on them, that carried weight, that the people carried the weight. He's going to break the stick that they used to beat them on the back when they were in slavery. And he's going to break the rod that they use to hit them or to make them break them. So in other words, every weapon that the enemy used against us, God is going to break against them. He's going to break it. And he's doing the same thing today for us. But he wants a people that's going to serve him, a people that's going to be real with him, that's going to be able to hear his word and respond to it. Ritually coming to church, listen. Ritually coming to church every Sunday, sitting on the pews, doing the worship, sitting on the pews, hearing the word of God, and then going back and doing your thing is not worship. It's not service to God. When God sees progression, when he sees you taking the word, because the word of God is application. Otherwise, what is it for? What is worship for? What is serving God? Why are we coming to the church if there's no change, if there's no room for progression, there's no room for growth? We don't know God. We're learning to know him. We're learning his ways. And the more time we spend with him, the more we know him, the more we know his ways. Some of us have been with him for years, but we would never be able, in our little small, beneath minds, to understand or comprehend the things of God and his vastness. Never understand everything about him. But what we know about him is because we spend time with him. And if you don't spend time with him, you won't know him. Maybe you can't read your word, but I'm so glad they have the Bible that you can hear that you can play. And you're right. They have new Bibles that you can play, and you can hear it on your phone, or you can hear it on the radio, or however, I mean, on the DVDs. We have the DVDs. Don't we have the DVDs of the Bible? So there's no excuse for people not to know the word of God or to spend time with God. I can read, but I'd rather put a DVD in my DVD player or turn my Bible on my phone and put it on speaker or put it in my ear and sit back in my chair and let somebody else read and let it get into my spirit. When I do my study time, when I'm reading and I'm sitting up at my desk and doing my study time, I know the word. I mean, I'm getting in there and I'm doing it. But when I'm in my meditation time, I just sit back and put whatever chapter I want to listen to, I put it there, and I sit back. Sometimes, not all the time, but it feels good that way. And to fall asleep and let my spirit just receive the word of God, that's a good thing. Bishop does it every night, but I mean, sometimes I don't like he do. Every night he just go to sleep with it in his ear. But so good, it gives you such a relationship. And sometimes the more bad dreams you have, you won't have them. You'll have time with God, and he'll speak to you even in your dreams. Hello, especially in your dreams. But now your spirit man is awakened now with the word, and so now God can talk to you and deal with you. So learn to do that. Make that a practice. Instead of some of these horror pictures y'all let stay on the TV while you're going to sleep and then you're having them nightmares running down the road in a shootout. I know one time Bishop was listening to, he had not went to sleep on a cowboy picture. Was it you or me? One of us. Anyway, I woke up in a shootout. No, I was in a dream, a shootout. It was Elliot Ness. And I was in a shootout. I woke up and I was like, no one, you know, and I got shot in the arm. You know, this is in the dream. yes, and it gets in your spirit because you send your spirit man is awake and he into that too. And it's like, and I said, oh, good, I got up, I was sweating. I said, No wonder. Gee, I told you about that. Like, what? He's sleep? I'm sleeping. I'm in the shootout with the gang members or whatever. But be careful, you know, because we always make sure that the Bible is the whatever that's playing on the scripture or playing on television be the last thing we hear before we go to bed. And actually, your spirit man needs that. It needs that vastly. You need it. Learn how. Some people say they can't go to sleep with the TV, and that's fine. You know, a lot of people can't. But don't let the last thing you hear be, you know, somebody's blood, some blood and guts, and you just went to bed on it because that nightmare you had is called what you just looked at before you went to sleep. So that wasn't possible. Hello? You just need to watch what you listen to. Amen? And so if we look at verse 5 and 6, it says, when they will burn as material for the fire every boot that soldiers wore in war, and they will burn the clothes with blood on them. And they will do this because a child is born for us. God has given us a son, and that son will always have authority to rule the people. And people will call him by these names: Wonderful Friend, Wonderful Counselor, Great God, Mighty God, Father for Always, Everlasting Father, and Leader who brings peace, Prince of Peace. So he's our peace, he's our Father, he's mighty, he's powerful, he's our Counselor, and God is coming, he's sending that. All of the war clothes are going to be done away with. Peace, peace, peace. Amen? And verse 7, he says, his authority will become greater, and the peace that he will bring will never come to an end. He will be king over the land that David ruled. He will make it safe. He will make sure that it is justice. And his people will be good, very good, now and always. The Lord of everything will cause this to happen because he loves his people. This is what the prophecy that God wanted to bring to Ahaz about Mighty God, about the Son, about Emmanuel. But he didn't want to hear from God. So God sent the word to him anyway, just for the people. You know, you're over my people, but let me tell you something. This is what's going to happen. This is what I'm sending. After I judge them, destroy all the evil ones, there's going to come salvation. Salvation is coming. Okay? Salvation is coming. So, and another point he brought up was God punished Israel, and he would do it again. And Isaiah, he says four times, chapter 9, verse 12, verse 17, verse 21, and in 10 and 3. He says that four times throughout this portion of our session. The Lord sent a message against Jacob, and it came to Israel. And all the people that live in Ephraim and Samaria know about it. They praise themselves with these words. Now listen, and you may not know nobody that does that, but listen to this. Verse 10, our brick houses fell down, but guess what? We will build them with stones, and we will have cut with our own hands. Now, God tore it down, but you really think you can rebuild it, and he doesn't destroy it? They have knocked down buildings that we made from sycamore trees, but guess what? We're going to build them again with cedar trees, and they're going to be better than before. This is what they said with their own words. You know, they decided himself. Not that God is going to help us rebuild or God is going to do this. You know, I did it. Go ahead, knock it. I'll do it again. You know, we're so cocky sometimes. We don't give God glory for nothing. People, you tell them, you know, well, thank the Lord. You can get a pay. Oh, I thank God for my salary. Oh, I work for that. Yeah, but you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't even have that job. Hello? If God breathes on that job, it'll be gone. People go, you knock on the door, people say, no, you know what? We took you off the list. We don't need you no more. Or that you work, they'll be gone. Whatever the case may be. Or they're fired just like that. But God keep you there. And if you dare to do it, he keep you able-bodied and keep you on that job. He give you favor on that job. At least give him the glory. Amen? But people like, I worked for that. I earned that. God didn't do it. I feel sorry for people that think that way. And so in verse 12, the people from Syria on the east and the people from Philistia on the west have opened their mouths, and they have eaten Israel. But the Lord is still angry, and his hand is still ready to hit them again. They have eaten Israel means that they have beaten the people in many places, and that they rule over them in those places. They just beat them, destroyed them. But God, you know, we know God is going to get vengeance on them, but God had a way. of doing things. Amen? And so who wants to fall under God's judgment? Because the way God do things is so different, especially using the enemy to destroy his own people and then destroy the enemy for destroying his people. Hello? So the enemy was caught up between a rock and a hard place. You're going to destroy him, but guess what? You won't get a chance to rejoice in it. So let's read a little bit of verse 7. This is because we're still in chapter 9, right? Yeah. So the Lord will not feel happy with their young men, and he will not be kind and help children without fathers. He will not help women whose husbands are dead. This is because nobody obeys God. I've been praying and praying and praying, and ain't nothing happening. But then here come Friday, and you get paid. You go right and buy your little outfit, and in the bar, in the club you are, getting your freight, your dance on. And then come Sunday, nobody don't see you, but you're praying in between time, in between little bumps. You're praying to the Lord, drinking and doing whatever you do, rap arousing, you're having a good time. But you won't obey him. You ain't living for him. You ain't serving him. But you expect him to answer your prayers? What food is for, not for the dogs? You ain't even trying to get crumbs. All you want to do is get from God. You want to spend time with him. You don't want to have fellowship with him. You don't want to be around him or his people, but you want him to move things for you. Everybody does wrong things, he said. What everyone says tells us this. They are fools. But the Lord is still angry, and his hand is still ready to hit them again. Wow. Verse 18, the wrong things that people do burn like fire. They eat up briars and thorns, and they burn the bushes in the forest, and they rise up into the sky like a lot of smoke. He is very angry, verse 19. So the Lord of everything will burn the land. Also the people will be like material for the fire. No man will be kind to his brother, another Jew. Wow. Go down to verse 21, 320. They will take food on their right side, but they will remain hungry. Whoa. They will eat what is on the left side, but they will not be filled. Everyone will eat the body of the person that lives near him. Food run out, you start eating up each other. Come on. Famine. Folk got to eat. Miss Classy got a lot of meat on her. Let's just get rid of her and start chopping on her. Wow, that's crazy. So in chapter 10, verse 1 says, some people make rules that are not fair. They also make rules that are cruel to people. And the people will be very sad. They do these things in verse 2. Some people need many things, and their rulers do not let them get what is fair. In other words, the rulers got all the good stuff, and they give the rest, the garbage, to the little people, the lower people. They take away what poor people should have, and they keep it for themselves. We got that going on right now in this country. They rob women whose husbands are dead of everything, and they are cruel to children whose parents are dead. Wow. They're doing crazy things, and it's not much different today. If we go to verse 4, it says, you can only go to with the people that are in prison, or perhaps you will die with those that the enemy kills at war. But the Lord is still angry, and his hand is still ready to hit them again. Wow. Again, he says that. The Lord is still angry, and his hand is ready to hit them again. God is going to punish. After all this is done, after Assyria does all this, God is going to punish Assyria. But God will help the people that continue to love him. Assyria, of course, they're going to be punished. They're going to destroy, but they're going to be punished. God is going to get them later. And he's going to help those who will continue to love him. We're going to go through hard times and rough times on this journey, but don't walk away from God and don't turn away from God. We're going to have wealth. Those of you that have wealth, don't let your wealth walk you away from God. Don't let your things or your possessions turn you away from the living God. Amen? And then one of the other areas we covered, that God will help the people that continue to love him. Verse 20, he says, when this happens or when that happens, this will happen to the remnant of Israel. They are the people of Jacob. that are still alive after all the other folks have been killed away. This is the remnant that's left. And so when that happens, they will not get help from Assyria, which beat them. Instead, they will get their help from the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. God is going to help them. So it's no more, they won't, because at first they wanted to align themselves with Assyria, so God used Assyria to destroy them. Hello. So now they can't go to Assyria. They got to go to the living God. Should have went to God in the first place, didn't we? You know, we want a mama, daddy, brother, sister, cousin, the lone man, the lone shark, and all this kind of stuff, get ourselves caught up. Especially, I hate this thing. I say this all the time, it's payday loan stuff. You'll never get ahead of that, payday loan. I hate that people get caught up in that. You will never, ever get ahead. You'll always be behind. Because they take your paycheck. Every time you get paid, you get a loan, you borrow it, they get paid, they take it, then you borrow more. Because not even took what you borrowed last week. How you going to get ahead in that? Unless you just do without 1 week and just leave it alone. Can't get ahead. We're almost ready to close. Chapter 11. The king, the good king, called the branch that God will send. If we look at verse 1, the part of the tree of Jesse that remains will start to grow. Then a branch will grow from the part of it that is under the ground. The Spirit of the Lord will come on him, and it's going to be like this. One, a spirit that knows what is right, and a spirit that knows what that means, what things mean. Two, a spirit that tells people the right thing to do and that has authority. And three, a spirit that knows everything and that is afraid of the Lord. A good king. This is a good king. He's called the branch. And this is God is going to send. The powerful spirit of the Lord. Amen? But we talked a lot about that, too, as well. We covered that when we were in chapter 11. Let's go to verse 12. He said in plain English, the Lord will lift up a sign for these countries to see. He will bring together the people of Israel that Assyria took away, and he will bring back the exiles of Judah from all over the earth. No longer will Ephraim not like Judah, and Judah will not attack Ephraim. They're brothers and sisters, but they went against each other. They won't attack each other any longer. Ephraim will no longer want what Judah has, and also Judah will not cause trouble for Ephraim. But together they will attack the low hills of Philistia to the west, and they will beat the people to the east of the River Jordan. They will fight against Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon will obey them. The Lord completely destroyed prophecy of Egypt, verse 15, and he will lift his hand over the river Euphrates. Then he will send a hot wind that burns things. It will make the river into seven streams so that people can cross it with dry feet. And verse 16, the last verse, it says, and there will be good roads for Assyria for the remnant. They are the Lord's people that remain. It will be as a good road as when Israel came up from the country called Egypt. So the remnant are going to do well. They're going to be fine. And our final chapter in this week's review is chapter 12, Isaiah's song to God. And we all sang, we sang that once before. Remember I had y'all to sing it? So, this is another thing y'all are going to do in your group, too. This is going to become a song. So, group one and group two. I think this is a song. So, remember that. So, while you're at home, you might want to think about it. Put your words together. But, and you'll pick somebody out of your group to sing it. And y'all got to sing it with them, okay? So, this is what our next session is going to be, group session. So, everybody has to be present. Have any questions? And so we went as far as 12. I was going to do them all, but that takes too long.